Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy. Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to the show. Today we have Dee Dee Kearney with us. Hi, Dee Dee. Thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Good. Well, Dee Dee is the founder and lead strategist of the Moxie Group, which is a music and lifestyle digital marketing company that focuses on social media management and paid ads across Meta, YouTube, and TikTok. With 30 years of experience in the music industry, Dee Dee brings her wealth of experience to her clients. Oh, Dee Dee, we are excited to talk to you today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. It's great.
Oh, great. Well, hey, so for our audience, could you please maybe fill out that introduction a bit more and tell us what you do more than just those few sentences that I gave
sure.
there?
Yeah. So I'm old. I've been in the industry a long time. Yeah. I started off at PolyGram as an artist. I actually, when record stores were a thing, and I would go and I would hang posters and make displays and make sure our artists were front and center in the record stores, and then segued over a few years later to Capitol Records, where I spent 20 years running radio promotion in the Northeast of the United States. And so from there, I created a digital position within our promotion team and learned a lot of, it was funny because at the time when Facebook and Instagram were becoming a thing, we were figuring out, like, that was like early 2000s, that the radio stations weren't, or the labels weren't doing a good job of making sure our content was out across our radio stations. So I pitched my boss at the time, like, hey, you know, like, I love my job, but I also think that we should get in on this digital game. And so I helped create that position within our team. And that was amazing. And then I left 5 years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, and started this. So it was a big, I don't know if I can start talking about it, but it was a big, big change to go from being in corporate my whole career to figuring out, oh, I'm going to try something new that I have no idea how to do, but I'm going to figure it out because why not? So nice. Here I am. Yeah.
So with that, what was the catalyst for you that made you say, yeah, well, I'm going to do this?
It wasn't all me. So at the time, there was changes in leadership, and my new boss had said, well, hey, we want you to take on a bigger territory. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I don't want to be at a little rap show in New Haven at 2 o'clock in the morning anymore. Like, I'm, you know, so right. Like, those are the things I had to think about. Like, I have children, I have a family, and do I, because promotion is an amazing job that basically means you're helping your artists get played on the radio. And there's a lot of late nights. And so it was pre-COVID though. Had I stuck around for COVID, I would have, you know, I wouldn't be here, but I decided that I was not going to stay, and they didn't want me to stay if I did not take on a bigger territory. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I knew I had to think about what I was going to do. And it just seemed natural to start something, at least to try. Yeah. And when I was at Capitol, there was a bunch of secret weapons that were talked about in marketing meetings, and they were essentially ad agencies. I'm like, well, I can learn how to do that. Like, how hard could it be to run a few Facebook ads? Like, right? Like, this should be pretty simple. So that's when I found Cat Howell's program at the time and literally signed up not knowing what anything was. They're like, I remember the onboarding call. They're like, well, so, you know, have you run any ads before? I'm like, no, but I'm a quick learner. Do you know what a funnel is? I'm like, no, not really. I mean, I kind of heard of that term, but as it applies to no. And but they let me in the program. And I literally for 6 months just like dug in and took every single course and learning module I could. And then it was hard to figure out how to make that or apply that to the music industry, because it's all, when you're running an agency, it's all lead gen or you know, e-commerce or coaching. And I'm like, but I'm music. And, you know, I know that we can do e-commerce and sell merch. And I know that we can do, we can sell concert tickets. And I guess lead generation is fans, getting fans. So it was trying to build out what that program would be for musicians that was powerful, but yet also affordable for clients. So that whole first year was hard. It was like figuring out like, what is our, because I also wanted strategies that I could do over and over and repurpose. And so yeah, that whole first year is a blur, but we also had a, so we have a social media arm, and my friend who's this brilliant, she was a singer songwriter. She's an amazing copywriter. And at the time she's like, well, I'll run your social media arm. I'm like, seriously? So then I thought, well, oh, you're not supposed to work with really good friends, but I decided I was going to try it. And she's with me today and she leads our social media and she's brilliant. And she's helped me and been there to help build that arm. And that helped the first year of the business, because we knew. And at the time that was super straightforward. There was no TikTok. There was no reels. Like it was like Facebook posts, Twitter, and Instagram, and it was like carousels would do well, and like you, it was very predictable. And we had
a simpler time.
It was a simpler time indeed. And then everything changed, and including on the platforms and on the ad side and the social side. So so that's I think I also went off the rails in terms of what you initially asked me, but
it's good.
Yeah, so.
That's so cool to hear. So you said that you buried yourself for a year. You took all the courses.
I did.
You learned all the stuff. How was that? Because I think that can be so overwhelming for all of us to take on too much information and the doubts and the worries that could start to creep in.
Doubtful. Well, I say that the thing I say all the time, and again, like I'm seasoned, right? Like I've worked in the industry a long time. I've went corporate a long time. I've done a lot of jobs. And I still will say to this day, I learned more that first year than my whole life. Yeah. That first year, I thought I knew what I was doing. I sat in marketing meetings. My job was in essence sales. It's not called sales, it's promotion, but your job is to go in front of people, play music and sell why they should be playing it. And so I couldn't believe how much in the world there was out there that I just never knew. Simple funnel, like just simple things that in digital marketing that I just had no clue. And I laugh because I think back to our digital marketing team and our marketing team, and I just feel like the resources that are out there for us to be able to transform your life, if you're digging in, is just, it's incredible to me that I was able to do that in 6 months. I was able to go from like not knowing anything to like seriously building an agency that now 5 years later, like we're rocking. It's like crazy to me. Wild.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I think I want to lean into that a bit more, because you made a statement around like you didn't know what you didn't know. And do you think that lent itself to your ability to actually see that through?
Yeah, well, I think the ability to see it through, it was because it was exciting how much I was learning.
Yeah.
And it was very fulfilling. And then I remember learning about what's that, the term where you, that everyone goes through, like, you don't think you're good enough.
Imposter syndrome,
which I'd never heard that term either. And then someone said it and I was like, wow, that's a really good term. Like I couldn't believe how much I didn't know for the age I was in that regard. And I was like, yeah, imposter syndrome, that's how I feel. And I that's a real thing. And, you know, being around, having resources, people to talk to who are in the same position, people in the in the groups and the masterminds and the I wouldn't have made it. I don't think I would have made it without having that support system. Had I just tried to like learn by taking a few courses and not being with a group of like-minded people trying to all do the same thing, there's no way I'd be here at all. There's absolutely no way. Like I will not leave having a mastermind to go to and people to talk to. Because I mean, my time with my mastermind mentor, I call him, and just people that I can pop on and ask things to, it always makes me feel better. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. Oh my gosh, everyone's feeling this. Oh, wow. Like, this is not unique to me. That's been so helpful.
I'm not alone. I think we speak to so many people who feel like they are, whether they have the amazing partners, a team around them, but still as a business owner, feeling like I'm still doing this alone. I'm the one with the responsibility.
Yes.
So you, all this courses, all this information, but it sounds like it's the support, the accountability, the safe spaces. That is maybe one of the most critical things through your journey.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Because no one else is going to care as much as you, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's on you to care about your team, about the strategy, about the wins, because no one else is. I mean, not that your team's not going to not care, but to the degree that the feelings and the support and the doubts that you have, like you're ultimately the one who has to deal with that and figure that out and be able to lift your team and be able to teach your team and be able to have those wins. And it's a lot, because it is that feeling of being alone, because you are, and you're also like, we're working in our houses, a lot of us, right? So we are alone. I remember back in my other job, and if a big thing happened, you're not in an office, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this just happened. So like, you look at your dog, you're like, oh my gosh. So I've laughed, or like I close the client and be like, River, we just got it. And he's just like looking at me like, when are we going for a walk? So it's like, you know, it's hard. It's lonely. And it's weird. I wish that we were at a situation where I could be I could envision a loft space with offices, but also my team. I have one in Chicago, you know, and one in LA. So it's like, well, I don't want to lose them and I can't make them move. So this works. And I do love working from home, but yeah, it's different, you know, you're alone. So
that all that responsibility and the weight and the understanding that you've come to, what do you do now to help manage that level of, as we call it, uncomfort, that level of when the doubts creep in?
The doubts creep in every day. I don't know what I do. What do I do? I do talk with my team, and I do share, like, hey, I don't know if this strategy is working. Like, why isn't this growing? And what can we do to fix it? And that will go through ideas, but then that will keep me up literally at night going, oh my gosh, like this is just not working.
Yeah.
But yet there are aspects that are working, but it's just, literally for me, it's continually, and maybe this is also a problem, it's continually trying to learn in the space what's working and what isn't working for others. I'm part of a music mastermind specifically as well. And so, and I'll spend extra hours on there. Like, okay, they're having this bottleneck too with this, say, Spotify activation. Like, oh my gosh, how come we can't figure this out? So I'm there spending my extra hours trying to figure it out. But that's the only way that makes me feel better. I wish I could get out of my own way sometimes. Yeah. I do. Like, cause sometimes I think it's like, we can always be better. I have that problem. We can always be better. And it's, And I think we're pretty damn good, but yet so I'm always.
What does that look like for you? Because we all get in our own way. As human beings, we have this superpower to mess up everything that comes our way.
It looks like lost time with family, and it looks like less time hanging out in the sun. It's worrying about, oh my gosh, we're going on a 2-week trip next year, and is this business going to run without me? Which is the whole goal, and it will, Yeah. But I think I get in my own way a lot of always trying to see, well, what should we be doing differently? What could we be doing better? And so it looks like a mess, really. but I mean, the clients though, like benefit, because all I do is research how they can be their campaigns and their everything that they put into our lap to handle for them is handled to the highest standard, but it's exhausting. Like
they're so well taken care of. But one thing that you mentioned at the start of this interview, you mentioned that your old boss, I think I remember correctly, you said that these agencies are the secret weapon.
That was so cool.
Who would want to be a secret weapon?
Yeah.
Maybe you've taken some of that, the prestige, the oh my god, kind of ego trip, or the I want to be the secret weapon because it sounds cool, but it comes with a bit of responsibility.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Well, and our problem is we have a lot of clients that don't have the biggest budgets where if we can just get to that next level, because a lot of the secret weapon comes from, like I didn't even know the power of what we can do when I was at a major label. I had no idea. My lane was radio. Mm-hmm. And like, I find now a lot of artists have no idea, like, oh my God, we can do that. Like, yeah. Like, oh my God, did you see that we had like 5,000 shares last week of my video? Yeah. Like 200,000 people watched 75% of my 4-minute video. What? Like they get, and like, and that's the secret weapon, right? Like we're getting their music and their content in front of a lot of people. And to do that on a grander scale would be super cool. Like we've helped sell out tours. We've helped move merch. We had a client, we did a big vinyl activation that they sold out of and made a whole bunch of money. Like though that's because they don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. And we do. And so like, but our goal is to hopefully try to, like, we have so many clients. It'd be great to have fewer clients with bigger budgets that we could focus more on, rather than like, we're so spread thin across so many with these micro budgets. And it's like, we're just giving our all to all of them I think that's also, so it's like pivoting in the business. Like, okay, how do we try to get those higher paying clients that we can really focus in on and help, rather than all these others? So, but then again, like our bleeding heart's kind of like, yes, we'll help you. You have no money. That's okay. We'll still help you. You want a 2-hour call? No problem. Like we got to stop doing that. Like, you know, so, yeah. I don't even know if I answered that question.
No, you did. You did. And I think what you're speaking to is this desire to show up and serve who you care about, whom you love, these artists.
Yeah.
And being able to balance that with serving yourself, like allowing your business to serve you, so that then in turn it becomes a cycle of you're full, but or not just full, but overflowing.
Yeah.
And can serve them. Yeah. That's like the spot you'd want to get to, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe having more, I mean, I have so much confidence in my team. I do.
Yeah.
But I also have chosen a team that I'm constantly also training. So, because we've chosen to have, and it's not by design that they're all women, but people that I've started with, people that I know and I've met. So, And we're trying to build a culture. We call ourselves like the Moxie Queens, and like, it's fun, right? I mean, if we find a great guy, awesome. He can be king. But at the moment, they're a team that are growing and are learning. And so right. in that growing and learning phase, I'm still responsible for helping grow and teach them because mm-hmm. I want to invest in them. Mm-hmm. And I think once we get to their ultimate abilities, that will help me as well. They're just not there yet. Well,
oh yeah,
some of them are, but some aren't. And it's just because that's, I've said, hey, I know you don't know how to do that, but I'll train you because you're awesome. And I see the potential and you are great. And so it just makes it a little bit harder on me. So, but I've made that choice. You know, I know a lot of people in this world go overseas. It's cheaper, but I just don't feel it fits for what we do. I think, yeah. you know, we're not just like, here you go, here's a CTR and here's the, you know, yeah. it's like, it's just, it's more, has more heart in it. And it's, so it's just different.
And there's a relationship there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, our artists are part of Moxie forever. Even the clients that can't afford us anymore, or they always keep in touch. They'll always, you know, it's just, we're always, and we like that. Like we want to create a culture that's a family. Because we really do love our clients. And that's so great too, because we can pick and choose who we want to work with. We've said no, like we're that, nope. And also too, if we don't think we can help them, we won't work with them. But right. it's great to be able to pick and choose and know that these are people that we're going to be spending a lot of time with, especially on the social media side. I mean, our clients are with our social team every day communicating. And so we have to have some sort of, you know, and trust there.
That doesn't right. happen overnight. Being able to choose your clients, being able to say no, being able to understand who you serve. Mm-hmm. That takes time. And I think courage as well.
Yeah. I was definitely saying yes in the early years to everything.
Right.
Oh, do that again. yes. And we've learned like, it's just not worth it. And I learned that too in the mastermind, like, hey, like it's okay to say no, like red flags, like just say no.
Oh, quick thing in there. So you learned in the masterminds that, you know, you should be able to say no, but did you have to learn it by experience? Did you have to really learn it by doing it? I think there's some things we have to actually experience before we get it.
Yeah, no, I think what happens is that I'll be in that situation of like, oh, wait a minute, someone else experienced this, so it is okay to say no.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'd read it in the feed or someone made a comment. I'm like, oh no, it's okay. I tend to do that a lot. I need to feel like that was the one thing that they said early on. And when I joined my first mastermind is like, you have a team. You have people you can reach out to, like lean on them because we're all in the same position. And I'm like, oh, right. Like I don't do that enough. And I feel like I probably should do it more. I've just been too busy, but like it's knowing that other people, and then it's validates like, oh, wait, I can say no. Cause others in this space have, it gets okay to do it. So yeah, that's been helpful.
Nice. It's
perfect to have that, community around you. And I don't think that that's talked about enough as far as having that support.
And when you're building a business or agency, especially, we all kind of know what we're trying to achieve. And so even though our niches are different, the goals are still the same. And to be able to I love being able to look at other people's ad accounts, be like, oh my God, like, okay, so that's really cool. All right, we're on the right path. All right, cool. Oh, you want to see, this is what worked. This is what didn't work. Or, hey, like, what are you using for the creatives? Like InShot works really great. Oh yeah. Have you tried that? Oh yeah. That's awesome. I'll try that. Like, because if we're not talking in those communities, you're on an island all by yourself. And how are you going to know what is working? Because what was working 2 weeks ago isn't working this week.
Yeah.
And so I like really rely on the community for that, for sure.
And I think support is, as we've all grown, we realize the support is out there. We just sometimes don't see it. You just said the words, I'm too busy. Yeah. I'm too busy to reach out, too busy to get support. That is, it's a self-defeating sort of prophecy that then it snowballs on top of each other. So I love that you mentioned the level of support and that it's once you realize it is out there and that you utilize it, that's where things change.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Love that. Dee Dee, thank you so, so much for your time, for sharing.
It's been so fun.
Your agency, what you've been through and what's going on. If people want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Best place is just go to themoxiegroup.com. So we're revamping it a little bit, but or our Instagram, which is always fun. So which is the Moxie Group. And actually it's M-O-X-I, because Moxie, M-O-X-I-E, was taken. And I refuse to give up the name. I'm like, well, I'll just drop the E, damn it. And I was like, you can't do that. Yes, I can. And I did. And it's been fine.
Yes, I can. And I did. Love that.
Way to be a boss.
Who knew?
Well, thanks again. It has been such a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you.
Thank you. Same.
You're welcome. Bye for now.
Bye.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so, so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.